So now House is back in session this week, been out for a long time, and I know that there are a lot of races that are coming up. So the thought is that the House and the Senate may not be in session as long as they normally are. Have you got an idea as to how long y'all will be back in D.C.?
Well, right now the House is scheduled to be in through about the end of the first week of October. That could be cut short by 1 week. I'm disappointed that the appropriation bills have not passed. That's the one thing Congress must do every year, or you shut down the VA, you shut down the Department of Defense, and obviously we're not going to let that happen. So what's going to be very important probably next week will be the passing of a continuing resolution. That keeps funding the federal agencies at a frozen level at last year's funding level, and that would last starting October 1 until we pass the full appropriation bills. The end of the fiscal year is the end of September, so October 1 is the beginning of a new fiscal year. So that's the one thing we must do over the next several weeks, and that is pass that CR to continue the level of funding, not an increase, but a level of funding in our federal agencies so they're not shut down.
Chad Edwards joining us from D.C. Of course, you've been in the district for a long time. In the time that you have been in session last to where we are now, the president's approval rating has fallen anywhere from 8 to 12%. Tell me what kind of sense you're getting in this district.
Well, what I get is a sense of real frustration, and frankly, I share that frustration. People are worried about the economy. Folks have either lost their jobs or many people are concerned about potentially losing their jobs. We've even seen some layoffs recently in the Brazos Valley that have people concerned. I think they're especially frustrated that Washington is not working the way it should, that there is so much harsh partisanship on both sides of the aisle. And frankly, I agree strongly with our district on that. We're not going to solve the big problems like the deficit unless we get some people crossing into common ground to find common sense solutions to our major problems. So I find a lot of frustration over that. I think there's a sense that President Obama is just trying to overreach. And yes, he did inherit two wars and the largest deficits in American history before he was sworn into office. But I think there's a sense that that the health care bill, the cap and trade bill, were just examples of overreaching government trying to do too much too quickly. And of course, it's one of the reasons I voted no on the health care reform bill and why I voted no on the cap and trade energy bill.
Now, yesterday, so folks understand that when they hear the Bush tax cuts, continuing those tax cuts and how they will continue is a question that has drawn some pretty significant lines. The tax cuts under the Bush plan for those making above $250,000 and those below, this is, seems to be where the parties have split the ways. Yesterday, the Democrats, I think, met behind closed doors to discuss this, basically coming out of there with the idea that the Senate is looking at this and they don't have enough votes to pass it, nor do the Republicans. What do you hear from that meeting last night? And explain to our listeners how you feel about the idea of that upper end, that $200,000 for individuals, $250,000 for families, and whether or not they should continue to have tax cuts.
Well, I was not in any meeting last night, so I'm going to end up doing what I believe is right for our district and country. I believe what we ought to do is make permanent the middle income tax cuts for people under $250,000 a year, and I believe we should extend the temporary Bush tax cuts for those making over $250,000 for at least 1 year because of the nature of the economy. The economy is still teetering. We're not seeing the economic growth we'd like to see. We're not losing 700,000 jobs a month we were a year and a half ago, but we're only gaining about 67,000 private sector jobs a month. That's better than where we were 2 years ago, but it's not where we need to be. The problem I have with making all of the Bush tax cuts permanent, all the temporary ones permanent, is that it will cost $3 trillion in additional national debt over the next 10 years. And my question to those who want to make all the Bush tax cuts permanent, how are you going to pay for it, and how much debt are you willing to add on the backs of our children? And let me put that into perspective. The health care reform bill that I voted against because of the cost of that bill is about $1 trillion bill over 10 years. Extending all of the Bush tax cuts, once again, would add about $3 trillion to the national debt. So about three times more addition to the national debt than even the cost of the very expensive health care reform bill.
Well, with all due respect, though, this is a Congress that passed a health care, passed a TARP bill that put a massive amount of debt on us, on our children and our grandchildren. So they're guilty of the exact same thing.
Well, Scott, let me remind you that it was President Bush that pushed the passage of the financial stabilization bill to stabilize our economy. At the time, groups such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said we were on the verge of an economic collapse. And the taxpayers, the unknown fact out there is that the taxpayers are actually going to make a profit off of the money that was loaned to the bank. So a lot of national economists say, had it not been for President Bush passing the financial stabilization bill 2 years ago, we would probably have one. In fact, John McCain's economic advisor said, without that bill, we would have 8.5 million more people unemployed, and the national debt would be much higher.
Small business people are concerned about the 1099 reporting requirements. Now, yesterday, the Senate considered two different proposals to reform that. Basically, the idea is it's going to make $17 billion to help fund health care, and businesses are going to have to report every purchase from every vendor above $600. That is a ton of paperwork for small businesses. For businesses of any size, that is a massive amount of paperwork. The Senate could not come to any kind of a reform plan yesterday. Talk about how that happened in the House and what you think the future is about 1099 reporting requirements.
Well, first, I voted against the health care reform bill that had that provision in it. Second, I co-sponsored the bill to repeal that provision for the very, very reason that you mentioned. This is incredibly onerous on small businesses, and you know we need to encourage small businesses to grow and not put more paperwork on their backs. I voted for repeal of this provision in the House, but because it was under the what's called the suspension calendar. While it got a majority of votes in the House, it didn't get the two-thirds vote needed to pass. So I'm hoping the House will vote on that measure again, and the Senate will sit down and have cooler minds prevail and work out a compromise. This is just not the time to be putting an extra burden of massive paperwork on small businesses. They're really the engine that will add the new jobs more than the large corporations in this country. So they're the ones we need to really focus our efforts on. And, you know, putting this paperwork on their backs hurts, not helps small businesses.
Congressman Chet Edwards joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear our entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time.
Scott, thank you now.
All right.
Bye-bye.